Hi, hello again, friends. I'm Logan, Logan Eddie Morris, or whatever's left of him, and welcome to Speed Syndicate episode 71, titled Progressive at the Paperclip. I wonder why it's called that. Again, I'm Logan Morris. It's great to be here. It's great. We're going to break down a whole weekend racing, and there was a lot to talk about, and luckily I don't talk about it alone. Let's bring in the cast of characters. I'm going to switch it up a little bit this week. Let's bring her in. She is the most beautiful woman on the dais. She's a little frazzled right now, getting everybody prepared and ready for showtime. She was worried I wasn't prepared for showtime, but I'm always prepared for showtime. Let's bring her in. She's got the most beautiful brows on the dais that you've ever seen. She's Ryan Blaney's biggest fan and, frankly, might be his future wife if he allows it. I don't know what that's going to mean for me, but let's bring her in. Producer Peyton Lohr. How are you?
I am frazzled. I've had a day. It's Monday.
It is Monday.
But I'm here.
Well, so. we can hear more about that in just a moment. Let's bring in the other guy that's here. He is the show creator. He is the syrup-sipping John Mayer listening. Just very calm. He's like a human Valium, folks. Let's bring him in. Adam, Canadian Carbine.
Breathe in, breathe out, everyone. Have a lovely day, and yeah, how's it going, guys? Good to see you.
I was like Speed Syndicate met Fraser Crane or something.
The doctor is in. Yes. I'm not quite a doctor, but you know,
old sure. up and Adam Dadam over here, yes, sir. But how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you know. Got a lovely race in yesterday, Martinsville. It was fine. It wasn't my favorite, but it was fine. Yeah, I don't know. We can get into it, but nothing else to report at the moment.
All right. Well, let's go to producer Peyton here. Ryan Blaney has lost another race. We always have to get your Ryan Blaney feelings for the weekend quickly. How'd you feel about his weekend?
I'm going to deflect
okay. And
say raise you with an Eric Jones DQ.
Well, if you'd like my opinion on that, you will have to wait until we get to our weekend review. You see what I did there, folks?
That was good.
That was, you know, Look, I'm going to give you my pay. No, don't you worry about it.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah. You're getting paid. All right. Denny Hamlin wins. Really, he dominated Martinsville. You know, he is considered a Martinsville master. There's no question about that. But it was kind of forgotten about or just slipped away. The fact that he hadn't won at Martinsville in a decade. For all his success at the Paperclip, he hadn't won in a decade. But boy, he came back gamebusters. Did a bang up job. Did he and the crew and Chris Gale and just everybody on the Progressive 11 against the world, they say. So before we break down the race in a more in depth fashion, give me your thoughts on Denny Hamlin's win. And is this a sign of things to come? It's his 55th career win. He passes Lee Petty for 11th all time, ties Rusty Wallace. And, you know, of course we all know him in the legendary Penske number two. So is this now that Denny is off the proverbial schneid, not just Martinsville, but as a whole, as far as winning goes, do you expect him to roll off a few more? We're coming to a great track for him this weekend. What's your thoughts on Denny Hamlin getting back in victory lane?
I think it was a great win. First of all, it was a statement win. It wasn't just a last lap pass or like someone crashing in front of him. He put on a clinic, I believe you said, and I think that bodes well for Denny Hamlin fans. Something else that I found interesting was just in his post-race interview talking about how, you know, his new crew chief Chris Gale this year, they decided to like switch things up on their kind of approach to Martinsville, and obviously it paid off. But like, to be at your stage of your career as a Denny Hamlin or, you know, some of these older, you know, veterans of the sport, I think it would be easy to go to a Martinsville and say, hey, I'm really good here. It's my best track, or at least one of them. And like, I'm just going to go out and do what I do. And for them to say, you know what? No, let's switch this up. It hasn't been working lately. Like, there would be no fault in just saying, let's stick to what we know and do that. And so I like the kind of thinking outside the box. I like, obviously, whatever they tried worked as well. So that's good. I feel like just, yeah, in pursuit of more wins, obviously, as everyone is, it seems like they clicked on something good there. So I think
it's all about more wins.
Well, I just mean, you know, like at the stage of Denny's career, I think at this point, he's just like trying to stack up as many wins as he can, you know, and obviously everyone's looking for a win. But if you look at like a rookie, you know, they're just looking to keep it in the top 20, right? Like there's differing things. Like Denny right now is in the stage. He's in good like equipment. He's in, you know, the later stages of his career, I think it's safe to say. And so at this point, I'm like, he doesn't know how many wins he's got left. So I think it's kind of more of a desperate approach than say Carson Hocevar right now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's certainly, I guess I can't say with certainty, but in all likelihood, he has more laps behind him than he's got in front of him. No question about that, in my opinion, unless he just surprises the hell out of us, which I guess is possible, but pretty unlikely. Get him. It's been, you forget how long that it's been since he won. And it really, it doesn't, I don't think it says anything negatively about Denny Hamlin. I think it proves how hard it is to win in this era. I mean, it's hard to win in every era, folks, a bit, but certainly in this era, it's tough. It's tougher than a $2 steak most weeks. Let's be real about that too. And the way the sport humbles you in a hurry. I mean, look no further than Josh Berry. I mean, he has, you know, the inadvertent kerfluffle with Bubba Wallace, and it ruins his battery, at least the first one. And then he has battery issues all day long to the point that they can't help out Austin Cindric. when he's got a battery issue, and well, you can take her to the garage here, bud. What a funny, I shouldn't say funny. It's not, it is funny to, in a unique sense, but, obviously yeah. Austin Cindric and
Penske, I don't think Austin Cindric's laughing.
Yeah. They're not really necessarily, you know, they're like, well, we have a different type of humor here on Speed Syndicate. Mm-hmm. And we do.
We could have called this episode batteries sold separately. You know, they didn't bring enough batteries to the track.
Goodness. That's what we should have did right there.
But yeah, that's,
Producer Peyton, I know you're not going to come on in here, but boy, we got the next time a battery issue wreaks havoc on a team, write it down.
There you go. I'm good for one good idea per like episode, maybe. I've used it up.
I think you have plenty of good ideas. So
you're sweet. Thank you.
But again, I want to let's talk about Denny Hamlin's 2025. Again, is this just, hey, the old vet backed his way, or not backed his way, he dominated, but is this, how do I compare it? Well, here you go. 1 year ago, I believe the spring Darlington race was won by Brad Kay. I believe that's right. He hadn't found victory lane since, and it hasn't been a great run since, quite frankly. So my question is do we see Denny Hamlin kind of go back to quote unquote what has become the new normal, or now that he's gotten this proverbial monkey off the back, is he going to be back in championship contending form?
I would almost I might say somewhere in between. You know, I don't know if he is quite, like, I don't know if I'm ready to call him championship contender at the moment. He's in the playoffs, which is a good start.
Sure.
But I'm just looking back at his, you know, his races so far this year. He's got a P5, he's got a P2 and a P6 among some other not so, you know, couple unsightly finishes there as well. But those aren't terrible, you know, like 2, 6 and 5. A lot
of teams that would kill for it.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. Average finish is 12 so far. It's only 7 races, but that's good enough for, let's see, 5th out of anyone in the Cup Series. So sure. I don't know. I don't think that he is, you know, regressing to the point that Brad Keselowski has inexplicably at this point. But I don't know if I'm ready to say, oh, he's the guy to watch out for now because of this.
Matt Marr chiming in, member of the Racing Refresh family. We love Matt. Everyone has gotten better, Martin Gilley says. Everyone has gotten more aggressive. Hamlin has always been good there, but he's needed to improve to keep up with these young guys. I'd agree with that. I believe this weekend, especially in the Xfinity Series, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's a different era, folks. And you can agree that it should be, or agree or disagree that it should be, but it is a different time. And it's elbows up, all right? It's elbows up and damn near fist out, all right? And I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not saying that's good. But we also have to look at the reality of the situation of the era that we're in. Will it always be this way? No, it won't. Everything evolves. Everything changes. There is a season turn, as that classic poem says. And right now, we're in a very aggressive era, a very no-holds-barred era. And we're going to talk more about that Xfinity brouhaha in just a moment. But I want to touch on a few other things in the Cup Series. Let's talk about it. Eric Jones in the 43 got DQ'd yesterday.
Something about Dairy Queen here, is that right? DQ?
No. As much as I love a good Blizzard, and by the way, they have currently an 85-cent deal on the app for the small Blizzard in case you're and get a hanker. Now it's still a little cool here in springtime, but by God, an M&M Blizzard's going to come my way real soon.
It's just a snack size; it's not worth it.
Yeah, get that and a little hot dog with chili. Oh, we are cooking now. We are cooking now.
Dairy Queen does hot dogs with chili.
Yeah, you can get a foot long.
Maybe Dairy Queen's different up here. I don't know.
I have put down a couple of foot-long hot dogs.
There you go.
You in my day. And they make
it Martinsville style.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, I don't know what's in it, and I really don't care.
All right.
God help me. All right. But Eric Jones was disqualified for failing to meet the minimum requirement. If I'm understanding it correctly, it sounds very similar to the Alex Bowman situation we saw last year in the playoffs that allowed Joey Logano to advance. And then, of course, he would win the championship. Today, Legacy Motor Club announced they will not be appealing. They did a thorough audit, they said, at the club. That was their statement, not mine. Adam, I know you get all beat up when I say the club. It's because they call it the club.
The club.
They did a thorough audit, they said, because apparently they dealt with an IRS service. and they said that, you know, pretty much, you know, hey, we screwed up while we you know. Matt Marr's DQ does chili dogs, and that's attaboy, Matt.
Are they foot long though, Matt?
You can if you. I'm telling you, if you
maybe say it's an East Coast thing. Not that you're East Coast, but you're more Eastern than I am.
I'm like you know, Steelers wheel. I'm stuck in the middle with you. it's a good song though, ain't it?
There you go.
Matt Marr says Hamlin, I believe, also had a slow start last season. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, you're the numbers man. I'm a naked eye guy.
I saw that, and actually, I am going to correct you here, Matt. He had 3 wins in the first 11 races last year. So, and then nothing win wise after that. So, I mean, yeah, sure.
Look, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for Denny Hamlin as far as being a top tier elite driver. Is still one of the best? Absolutely. Is his championship window still open? I don't know the answer to that. I don't. As far as Eric Jones goes, Peter, one of my opinion on that bad boy. Look, I think, you know, the fan in me goes, damn, why are you checking the 24th place car that hard? Secondly, but that's the fan in me, right? Realistically, rules are rules. Mm-hmm. If they broke them, they should. Pay the price for him. I mean, absolutely, 1,000%.
Interesting. Yeah.
So rules are rules. They are in place for a reason. There's no need to go beyond that. Yeah. Like again, as a fan, I don't like it, right? But you know, as someone tries to cover this sport pretty fairly, hey, rules are rules. It is what it is, and you know, we're all these artists, baby. That's,
exactly. Know. Right. And
you know, it is like. I feel like at this point, because I know that sometimes I get a little heat in some circles because I tend to take NASCAR side a little much, but I just feel like when they DQ a team, they give them every bit of leeway they possibly can to not DQ them because I don't think they want to. like that we heard bits and pieces of the details that they gave the 48 every little bit to try and kind of finagle the weight so they weren't DQ'd last year, and mm-hmm. it wasn't to be. And so my assumption, especially since Legacy is not going to appeal, is they probably gave them every opportunity to look, if you want us to turn around and you move a couple things, we'll try that. But because I don't think they want to DQ people. They know
no. it's kind of
– because it makes the race a little hollow. I mean, honestly, it does. It makes you pretend results happen that didn't happen. Because Eric Jones didn't finish last. He did get stage points. Yeah. But as it scored, he did finish last and gets a grand total of 1 point for the race. Mm-hmm. I don't think NASCAR likes to do that. So, yeah, if they screwed up, they clearly did. And, hey, I think I support them having to – kind of take their licking, because everyone else in the garage should too.
Well, and Kyle Larson gets the extra point for the 10th stage point, since everyone else moved up in stage yeah. points one, and he right. was, I guess, 11th in that stage, so he gets the 10.
But
the 10th spot.
So we'll see what Legacy does, and hopefully they can have a good week this week at Darlington. Eric Jones very strong at Darlington, as we know.
Yep.
And maybe this is all much ado about nothing in the end of the day. We shall see.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. I think NASCAR, like, there are certainly those conspiracy theorists out there who are like, oh, you know, maybe Jimmy Johnson said something wrong to so and so, and therefore NASCAR really tore this car apart. And, you know,
if it was a Hendrick car, would they be under such scrutiny?
No, but also, like, they would, because Alex Bowman got DQ'd last right. year. He's a Hendrick card, right? Like, so I think they do it as fairly as they can. And you're right. I remember stories from last year of them saying, we let Bowman fill up the car with gas to see if that would get him over the threshold, and it wasn't enough. Like, they don't want to be making these decisions. They don't want to be making, you know, calls after the race that are affecting the outcome. But at the same time, You have to follow the rules, right? You can't say, oh, well, it was only 24th. Like, it wasn't a huge deal. We'll just let it slide, because then where do you draw the line, right? Right. It has to be a black and white call, and it was. So sucks to be Eric Jones. Sucks to be the 43 team right now. But
so that's the way the crumble cookies sometimes. Yeah. You know, he goes from 21st to 29th in the standings after the penalty. And you know, that's a steep hole to climb out of. Still early enough that it can be climbed out of, but it's a steep, steep hole. We'll see what happens.
I got him 51 points outside of the playoff picture right now.
It was certainly the crappy cherry on top of that particular sundae.
Yep.
So, oh well, you know, it is what it is.
Stranger things have happened. He's still ahead of Brad Keselowski.
He might still be ahead of Austin Cindric even.
Now Cindric's ahead of him.
Okay, all right. Because Austin Cindric's having a rough ever since his penalty.
He's ahead of Keselowski, Ty Gibbs, Noah Gragson, Riley Herbst, SVG, and Cole Custer and Cody Ware.
You know, we've been hard on one Tyler Gibbs, and rightfully so, but he had a pretty decent day yesterday with a, what did he bring home, P13? It was a good day.
It was better, yeah, P13.
Yeah. Better day for the coaches, boys all around, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm here to tell you, hot take, a little Loganity take, and we have some time for these because there wasn't a ton of news to cover this week. I'm starting to sour on the old SVG train. Boy, I'm starting to really sour.
I know you. I heard you say this, and
I'm starting to sour at him. It's starting to be like one of them Jolly Ranchers that just a little bit too. Look too tart.
His tire came off. It wasn't his fault.
But you're right. But it becomes a series of unfortunate events, and I'm talking to Lemony Snicket style here, and I just really wondered, was he? And again, maybe this is way too soon. Maybe I'm hitting the panic button. But by God, this is why we do a podcast, so we can hit the panic button. I just wonder. Did he, you know, was he rushed up a little too soon? I know he's an ace on road courses. I get that. And so maybe he wins the Chicago Street Course or the race in Mexico or Sonoma, and guess what? Egg on old Logan's face. I get it. But on the ovals, it is getting borderline embarrassing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying, like, because maybe another year or two. Yeah, I mean, because Trackhouse right now as a whole ain't looking great. I mean, Torres, I'd say his seat is at least lukewarm. Chastain was up at the front towards the end, but overall hasn't been, you know, again, he's hasn't been the – there is pre-Mr. H lecture and post-Mr. H lecture. That's the way you can currently summarize it. We'll see if that narrative ever changes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Adam. Are you still a believer in the Kiwi, if you will?
I am, and I think it's too early. Does it suck that he had a wheel fall off and had a bad finish as a result?
It's not about the wheel. It's indicative of a larger issue.
I know, but it wasn't his fault at all. Like, it'd be different if it was like a spin that took him out or something, like, you know, this, he really had nothing to do with it. So, I don't have a problem with him. I think he's cool. I think he's really,
I'm not saying he's not a bro. Like, let's go get some food, bro.
Oh, he is a bro for sure.
I'm not saying he's not cool, and I'm not saying he's
I know. I'm giving you a hard time. But
we also got to call a spade, and thus far it has been a little bit to be desired. Yeah.
A little friendly reminder for those of you who are regular watchers, our producer, Peyton, her hot take at the beginning of the year was that SVG wasn't going to win this year. She's reminded us in the private chat here to not forget. So
we'll see if that holds.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Mar's got it right. The novelty of SVG is worn off. I wanted this to see, but he needs to perform much better. Amen, Matt. I'm not trying to kick a man while he's down, but we got to call a spade right now. He's not getting it done. He's a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest out there on the mobiles, and it's not looking great. I know that the tire's not, but it's indicative of a larger, frankly, track house. It's indicative of a larger issue at the house. Right now, at the House of Cards.
Is that like the club? Do they call it that too?
I was just kind of rolling with it.
You're riffing on it. I like it. Yeah.
Right now, it feels like a House of Cards. Think about it, folks. SVG, not great on the ovals right now. Connor Zilich, young man, could be getting rushed up. Being Flores, I think he's got a hot seat like it's cold in the winter and he's got leather. I'm just telling you. I just, Ross Chastain, I mean, I think this is going to sound harsh on Ross Chastain because he's a winner. He's found a way to win, and we all love the Hail Mailin, and that's one of the top NASCAR moments of all time forever.
Mm-hmm.
But when he is your quote-unquote anchor driver, his resume doesn't warrant anchor driver. You know, it ain't like it's Chase Elliott or Kyle Larson or Joey Logano.
Now, I'll say this.
All right.
I keep track of this stat that really I'm the only one that thinks it's cool because no one else does. But in the same way that they do the manufacturer standings, where it's basically just taking the top finisher in each manufacturer, I do that for the teams as well. And I keep track of that just because I think it's interesting.
That's a good little deal right there.
I got Trackhouse in fifth. Ahead of Penske. That's just numbers only. I mean, there's no opinion on that necessarily.
I love the odd couple that you and I are.
Yeah.
Because you're such a numbers guy and I go, but it doesn't pass the eye test.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I would have expected them to be lower, but
they look a little lately.
To be honest, it's an interesting top five.
They got
Joe Gibbs in first. That's fine. Yeah. Second is Hendrick. You'd expect that. Third is RFK. On the shoulders, the weary shoulders of Chris Buescher. RFK.
The weary shoulders. Boy, they're getting long in the...
And then fourth, 2311. Then Trackhouse fifth.
Question on this stat system here. Are you including the Wood Brothers as Penske, or they are their own separate?
They are their own separate
entity. All right, cool. Just not one of that clarification.
Yeah.
All right.
The club is in 11th. I'll give you that.
Could be worse. It'd be better, but it could be worse.
Out of 15 total. 11th out of 15.
I like the little victories here. That's what we're talking about. There you go. Anyway, let's move on to the Martinsville Xfinity race because we need to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
That brouhaha. So
some might call it a dumpster fire, but a dumpster fire at least is contained.
As the one and only legendary. He is out of blanks to give, ladies and gentlemen, at this stage of his career, and I don't blame him. Mike Joy. Mike Joy. He's an icon.
I thought he was about to walk it back. I thought maybe someone got in his ear and was like, listen, you can't talk like that about the Xfinity series. He's like, you know, earlier I called it a dumpster fire, and I need to clarify, a dumpster fire is contained. It's like, oh my God, he's really going for it.
Like, at this stage of the game, it might don't care.
What are they going to do, fire him? I mean.
That's fine. Give him a severance package and his retirement.
Seriously.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
I'd be okay with that, to be honest, but that's a different story.
You shut your mouth. That man is the only thing good about that Fox booth.
I won't disagree there, but I'm not saying he's good.
He is fantastic.
I'm bored.
He is an icon. Hey, Ryan, how are you? Ryan, in celebratory fashion, Joey Logano got his first top 10 of the season, believe it or not. I mean, he had more rubber than pissed off men in a parking lot, but that's all right.
Heck of a drive by Logano. I'll give you that, Ryan. I'm not usually on the Logano train, but that...
He was my biggest move of the race in the post-race inspection article we do.
I know, he was mine as well, but you got to say it first, so I looked stupid.
Great minds think alike, or yeah. They copy the great mind now. I appreciate it. Ryan, how am I doing? You know, it was tough, buddy. It was tough. You know, you hate to see that, but it is what it is, and hopefully Joey Logano's DQ'd next week, and you can join this here pit of misery. But good to see you, Brian. Let's talk about this Xfinity race. Just mayhem. And I want to be fair to the drivers here. Be fair to the drivers. And I know you're saying fair to the drivers. They're the one acting like pissed off teenagers. And you're right, ladies and gentlemen. But the way this sport is enforced and the system we're in doesn't encourage this behavior, but it doesn't do anything to stop it. If you want this behavior to stop, you know what you should do? Sit guys for a race. I mean, that's it. That's the only answer. Or out of respect for the sponsors, let them run but not get points. Right. Because to be fair, it's not the sponsor's fault. You get the win check and that's it if you happen to win. And that's if you happen to win. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that's going to change these moments is a change in the system. And I don't know if we ever see a change in the system. We'll see tweaks, but the Xfinity Wreckfest 250. That's the only thing that's going to change it is a true change in the system or saying, hey, guys, you're on the bench for next week. I don't know if you can do that in this sport. I don't because it seems to be – I know you can park guys – but parking guys during a race is different than, hey, you don't start next week.
Right.
I'm not defending the actions of Sammy Smith or Taylor Gray for that matter. That's not what I'm talking about. Cause I think that's irrelevant to the conversation, quite frankly. I think everyone talks about respect and the lack of respect nowadays. You are in a system where for better or worse, if you win a race, barring a lot of different winners, you are in the playoffs. No risk it, no biscuit. And so when guys see that in the heat of the moment, they don't go, man, I might get penalized here. They go, I can change my life. I can change my season. I can win. I can look good to a cup team. Because you know what looks good on resumes? Wins. Period, the end.
It's true.
It doesn't matter how you got it done because the reality is for as close and then the parity that we have in this sport, Adam, still not many guys win. They get closer than ever, They get closer than ever, but there's a big difference between that and getting there.
So, I don't have like a photographic memory either. And so, you know, I'll be like, oh yeah, how was so-and-so, you know, 2 years ago in the Xfinity series? I'll go look and I'll be like, oh, yeah. Four wins. Oh, wow. Good for them.
Oh, two of those was Busch League.
Yeah.
It doesn't compute when you're trying to sell your resume out there to certainly the maybe to owners of teams. It might fair, maybe because they're there, they're watching, they're paying attention. Do you think a sponsor gives a rat's furry behind about how somebody won? My company was in victory lane. It's all I care about. Do you think Bass Pro Shop is really upset at what Austin Dillon did at Richmond? Nope. Why would they be? They still won.
Probably got more replays out of it anyways, you know? And
you're right, Matt. He could have. He absolutely could have. But clearly this has been a thing between those two that were bubbling over. You saw his post kind of incident comments. And we're also in an era where and I thought Kyle Petty hit the nail on the head, and as much as I love the Petty family, there's plenty that Kyle says I disagree with. But I thought he hit the nail on the head on Kevin Harvick's happy hour by saying, you know, it's different now because guys don't have to respect the equipment. They don't have to go fix it. Where he said his father made him do 1 year at every department at Petty Enterprises so you could respect the equipment. That's you're not getting that today. It's not happening. And I'm not saying that's for better or for worse. I'm not having that discussion.
No, I think it's for better. It was for better back then is what I mean.
But guys don't, we're not having that today. And so what difference does it make to them? They don't, I guess you could start finding them if you so desired, but then that make you a pretty, unless you get all the owners to agree to that, you're going to become a pretty unpopular owner and people are going to be leaving you quicker New York minutes.
Yeah.
So Adam, what do you make of the incident? And then how do you curb it? Because it's clearly becoming an issue because it's being talked about at the Cup drivers and the drivers meeting, you know, the word of the weekend needs to be respect. And we keep having these conversations every year in some form, some incident, trucks, Xfinity, and yes, even Cup series. How do you curb it? What do you think they can do?
My answer might surprise you, actually, as the cool, calm, collected Canadian here. I might default back to hockey rules, though, here. And I thought Clint Boyer actually had an interesting point. He said, you know, we talk about it, these drivers need to learn respect. And I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he said, as long as there's security guards in there breaking those fights up, they're not learning respect. And I'm not necessarily advocating for this to become like a, you know, a fight club here or anything like that, but let these guys settle it themselves. You know, like if you pull a move like that and you know that you're going to get punched in the face as a result, it might make you think twice about it. You know, I don't advocate violence. I just know that's kind of the code in hockey as well. And being a proud Canadian, of course, I know that. But, you know, you do see that in hockey where people recognize that a big hit or a big, you know, something dirty is going to result in you having to fight, you know. And if you don't want to do that or if you're not prepared for those consequences, then maybe you think twice about what you're doing. I don't know. The stakes are a little higher in NASCAR because there's not as many games. But there you go. There's my fellow Canadian boys. Have at it. Elbows up, right?
again, I think it will only ever change at all until you start severely points penalizing, maybe. But like I said, I really think the only way is, hey, you take a week off.
I also saw some, I can't remember who I saw post this. What about the team owners saying, hey, we're suspending you for a race? Like,
they would
have to put someone else in there.
I mean, they would have a right to, but again, team owners are, I don't want to say they're, you know, I don't think they suffer, you know, fealty to the sponsors, but they also do. Case in point, and I know it's a different scenario, but the only reason that Jeff Gordon ever drove again after his retirement in 24, he was in the 88 briefly, was because that is who the team and the sponsors agreed was good enough to kind of carry Dale Jr. sponsors. So sometimes it's like, sometimes it might be, you know, it might be, you know, Pilot says, Sammy Smith is the guy we pay for.
Right.
And so we don't, because we hear it all the time when you kind of go digging deep, what's a team sponsor and what's a driver sponsor, right? And so the team sponsors would be like, yeah, that's fine. You can run.
Yeah.
Mike Wallace out there, we don't care. We're a member of the team. But the guys that have their own personal sponsors, they'll go, hey, I know you didn't agree with his behavior, but we're paying you a lot of money. And if you want us to keep paying that money, you'll put him in that car. So, right. Yeah, it is a conundrum. It is an absolute conundrum. And I wouldn't want to be the one to make the decision. But lastly on this, because we've got to keep moving, Sammy Smith showed no remorse, nope. None. Frankly, he doubled down and was like, yeah. Look, here's why. And I kind of get it. Like, I don't agree with it, but I kind of get it. Because after a certain point, if you feel like he's giving you the business, and again, it sounds like they have a myriad of a history of issues over the years coming up together. Because he, to me, in that spiel he gave, he admitted fault. He just didn't care.
Right.
There is a difference. He didn't say I wasn't wrong. He kind of knew he was wrong, but it's like, I've been pushed to this point, and to hell with that guy.
Right.
And you have that. And so that's why I'm not so upset at Sammy Smith, because he kind of owned the fact that he was wrong. It's just, I'm pissed. And this guy has been bush leaguing me in his view. I'm not taking a side. I'm saying from his perspective, yeah. This guy's been bush leaguing me for a long time. And you know what? I've had enough of it and be glad I didn't do it at Daytona.
Right. It's interesting. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Just he's so unapologetic, right?
Yeah, it was like, you can like it, not like. And again, there's a part of me that can respect that, even if I disagree with it, because if you're going to do something, you might as well have the cojones to stand on it.
Well, and I think it's a mind game in some ways too. You know, like, I think whoever you are, you know, if you know, next time you're coming up to the final closing laps and you got Sammy Smith coming up on your tail, you know, do you start thinking twice? Do you get a little nervous in your seat, and do you make a mistake? And then he passes you, right? Like, is this just he's adopting this character of like, I don't care. I don't give a, you know what, like I'm coming for you. And I don't know. I feel like that would be nerve wracking to have that behind me and knowing his, you know, so is there a track record there that he's just like establishing?
And I think that, I mean, one of the reasons that Dale Sr. is and was the Intimidator, right, is because he got even enough, not egregiously, but he got even enough to make people know, try it. And so it's just because sometimes it's the fear that gets you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just that'll, you know, it's kind of like a basketball coach playing the ref. You can't change that call, but maybe I can change the next one.
Ask Alex Bowman about that last week.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Larson, everyone says he's the best driver in the world. He's gaining on you. Yep. Suddenly he taps the wall and he's out of it. Right. Yeah. Like, is that a mind game that, you know, afterwards he said something like, you know, oh, to have the best in the game come and get you, like, at least it was him, you know, that's good. But it's like that's going through his head as he's going around there saying,
and he admitted that he probably screwed up because it was Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
And that says a lot, because it's not like Alex Bowman has won one race in his career. He's had a very fine career. We just kind of don't give it the appreciation it might deserve because he drives for HMS and compared to his other teammates. All right, any other final thoughts on that before we quickly talk about the rest of the weekend?
Nah, I think that's good. Let's move on here.
Daniel Hemric won his first truck race for the 19, which was, hey, great. I think that's awesome. Daniel Hemric's easy to read for. it was a messy, messy ending. Corey Haim again dominated, but then, you know, the old bumper gets you and see you later. And so he went one wild one. For the NHRA at Pomona, Greg Anderson became the second winningest driver in NHRA history in pro stock. Well, he's number one in pro stock, but he became second in NHRA history, period, behind only John Force. Jack Beckman won in John Force's funny car, and that is John Force Racing's 300th funny car win. And Clay Milligan beat Tony Stewart in Tony Stewart's, I believe that's his first final round in Top Fuel. So we'll see what happens for Tony Stewart, if he can ever. Someday he will get off.
I think he'll get there. He'll get there.
Because he's say, and I have a lot of opinions on Tony Stewart, but I'll never question his ability. And so one of these days, yeah, we're going to be talking about him getting a big time dub, getting a big time Wally. Mm-hmm. All right. With that, let's keep moving along. What do you say we do some Speedway Scoop?
Let's do it.
All right. Jesse Love is going to make his RCR Cup debut in Bristol here in a couple weeks. You know, we talked last week, Austin Hill's going to run five races for RCR. Is Pop maybe starting to prepare for the future, whether that's without Kyle Busch or without Austin Dillon or without him, or is this just an opportunity for Jesse Love? What do you make of Pop putting in the young guns here and there? Is he thinking about the long term future of his team, or is it much ado about nothing?
It's hard to know for sure, but I would say this. If I'm Austin Dillon, I don't love it, you know, especially if these guys come in and finish ahead of him. You know, Austin Dillon is probably the most, like, what's the word I want to even use? Like, I think he gets the most criticism of almost any driver as far as like not being deserving of his seat. And that's partially just because of, you know, Pop, as you call him. If Austin Dillon drove for Hayek Motorsports, people would be like, yeah, okay, it's Austin Dillon. It's a smaller team. That's the way it goes. But he doesn't. He drives for RCR. And just so happens that his grandpa is the owner of it all, right? So,
yeah. And I also think he has some added pressure because he drives a three. There's a lot of money with that car, and for obvious reasons, we just talked about the Intimidator. And I don't think that is the whole reason by any stretch. I do think the perceived nepotism is the major one.
Yep.
But I do think if he drove the 33,
I think
the displeasure would be dialed back maybe two notches.
Right. But like Richard Childress himself is not going to be completely deaf to hearing this all the time about Austin Dillon doesn't deserve this seat. You know, I don't know if I even fully agree with that, but there's a lot of noise about it all the time, especially, you know, when he wins at Richmond the way he did last year. Like, you know, people go, this is not Cup Series quality driving, you know? So I don't know. I think, yeah, if you're Austin Dillon and a Jesse Love comes up at Bristol and finishes ahead of you, I don't know. It's got to turn that seat warmer up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Turn off the cool suit a little bit. So
we all kind of make light or make jokes or maybe they're all legitimate for some of us about Pop giving Dillon the ride and nothing could seemingly move him from it. But it's not like Richard Childress is not a competitive guy. He's still at the track every single week, and he's still very involved on the radio, as we hear during times of either success or infamy in RCR. And so, like, he's a very competitive guy. So it probably bothers him, too, not just from a noise standpoint, but because he wants to win.
Yeah.
Because when you do this, as long as he's done this, we can disagree with the drivers he has in his car, the driver he has in his three car at the very least, but it isn't like he's wanting to fail or okay with failing. It's a matter of, you know, maybe he truly thinks that's the best option. And I'm sure it is tough for him on a personal level to be the grandfather and be like, man, I got to tell him that he's not good enough for my ride. And that's
Do you think if Kyle Busch was winning more regularly, like the heat would be off of Austin Dillon in a way? Like RCR is not winning at all, right? So
frankly, I think the opposite. I think if Kyle Busch was winning, I think it turns the burner up higher, because you look at the comparison equipment and you go, well, Kyle Busch is getting dubs, and yeah, it's Kyle Busch, but why aren't you coming close?
Right.
Because never did I don't. Yes, I know Richmond was a big deal, and that was probably the height of the Austin Dillon's got to go train. But remember when Kyle Busch first came over to RCR and he won like three races out of like the first 10 or whatever it was?
Yep.
I don't know if there was a more constant outcry because I remember looking at the standings and Kyle Busch would be up in the top five and Austin Dillon was like 28th at the time. And so I don't know if there was a more constant outcry than that. So I actually think that Kyle stopping winning has kind of cooled it down a little bit, because right. I think if he's involved in discussions, I'm sure he would be, because there's a lot of rumors that eventually he'll take over RCR. He and Richard have the plausible deniability of saying, well, it must be the equipment. We got to get better here before we can fault you.
Right.
So that's just my thought. All right. Dollar Tree sold Family Dollar for about $1 billion. They bought it back in 2015 for about $10 billion. So you don't have to do the math on that, or be a genius to do the math on that, I should say. Do we think there are problems with the LMC sponsorship? Here's my opinion on that. I don't think there'll be any problems with the LMC sponsorship this year. Given the issues they're having as a company, and because Dollar Tree has been having some issues for quite some time, you know, their stocks have been bad even when the market's been good. I don't have any inside info here, folks, I don't want to pretend that I know anything more about the club than anybody else. Like, I don't. I just do a ton of research. It's all out there. I would be very surprised if Dollar Tree's back next year, but I think they'll ride out the season. You know, you've made the agreement; they're a little harder to break. Because keep in mind, Dollar Tree is the main partner of Legacy Motor Club. Family Dollar was owned by Dollar Tree. They could still currently be. It takes a while for things to close. I don't think there's going to be a major issue this season, but I'd be pretty doggone surprised if Dollar Tree is back on the 42 and 43 come next season. For instance, the 42 throwback is a Dollar Tree scheme still. So just a heads up there. Kevin Harvick named to the Texas Motorsport Hall of Fame. Pardon me, Adam, did you have anything to add on the Legacy?
Oh, program? I was just going to say more on throwbacks in a little bit of time. Yes. Okay. No, I can't speak. It's fine. Go ahead.
NASCAR promoted President Steve Phelps to become their first ever commissioner. Steve O'Donnell will become the sixth president of NASCAR. Do want to touch on this for a moment. Is this just kind of reshuffling the deck chairs?
Yeah, This only just came out today, so it's news to me as well. I don't really know what this is all about. Sure, you know, can you be promoted from the highest, you know, thing in NASCAR to a new made up title that is now suddenly higher? Like, I don't know, is he getting a raise? Is that what's going on? Or like, I don't know.
If you're building the pyramid, I mean, I guess you can add another layer.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Great. Good for these guys. What was Steve O'Donnell's old role and who's moving into that? Like, is there a new position that's been made somewhere down the line that I don't know, right? Who cares? I don't know.
So I don't know. I missed the days of Mike Helton having a lot more say.
I think it's probably more just like marketing more than anything. Like, I don't know, all the major sports leagues have commissioners. That's the title they have. Yeah, so Steve Phelps is like, hey, we should have one too.
You know, we're kind of digesting this together because this just broke a few hours ago and I hadn't thought about that yet. And so that might just be it. Or just in their head, it might make NASCAR sound a little bit more legitimate.
Right.
Because they're always kind of chasing the quote unquote big four.
Yep.
Although with the rising popularity of soccer, maybe it's becoming the big five. I don't know.
Possibly. I don't know. So,
or as some say, football.
Football. Yeah.
All right. So
with accent.
With that, well, I got what I got, bud.
Yeah.
With that, let's bring in producer Peyton Moore. And, you know, it is throwback weekend coming up, and that's one of my favorite weekends of the year. I love Darlington. Darlington is my favorite track, period, because it's an old worn-out hunk of junk with so much history.
Yep.
I mean, it just gets in my veins. So, producer Peyton, kind of take it away here, but let's talk about our favorite throwback schemes. Do you have a favorite throwback scheme?
I do have a favorite throwback scheme. I threw together these little lame little graphics. Sorry to our audio listeners, but if you want to see it, come to our YouTube channel.
There you go.
We can drive it and get you.
My favorite is Daniel Dye's throwback to Adam Petty's 99-45.
The number 45 from 1999, yes.
Why is that your favorite?
I just think it's a good throwback. I think it looks identical to his car.
It does. I think it's a better I think it's a better throwback than when I believe RPM did a throwback to him several years ago. It might have been during Bubba Wallace's final year. And I think that looks better than what RPM cooked up, and they're kind of the guys that did it originally. So, if you recall that. Adam, what's your favorite throwback of the weekend?
I will say this, full disclaimer. I'm not a huge throwback guy. It's not really my thing.
Why?
Partially, I'm a newer fan, and I don't know. I don't have any nostalgia for these old schemes. Like, it's cool to see all, you know, cool. And that's fun.
As soon as you see some weirdly placed auto insurance scheme,
I don't know. It's just
auto owners scheme. You'll be like, man, that's great. Look at that Marty throwback.
I also think it's hard for the casual fans to keep up with who's driving, because everyone looks different than normal. It's weird.
It's wonderful.
Anyways, but if I had to choose one, I have no personal connection to the original that they're throwing back to, but the 21 for Wood Brothers. I think it's just a cool looking car. I like the font on the numbers, and yeah, I don't know. I think it's a sharp looking little vehicle there.
Might that be in your next diecast purchase?
I don't own a single diecast, and I probably never will.
Why?
But
hold on! Stop the presses!
I got nothing against people who collect them. I think it's great. Good for you.
What do you have against diecast?
I just don't. I got enough junk in my house that I'm trying to get rid of, and I don't have room for more new junk. So,
it's not junk to
collect. I know it's not. Okay, sorry. That's rude.
Yes, it is rude.
I've never been much of a collector. The only thing I collect NASCAR wise really is hats. I like to buy a new hat every track I go to, but
I also am a big hat wearer.
Yeah.
I like hats, certain kinds for sure. Yeah, nice.
I got a big melon though. So
I'm a hat wearer too.
Here we go. Look at this.
I've been wearing this the whole show.
Yeah.
There you go.
I love hats too. I absolutely love them. I have them. We're always looking to add more hats. Adam, I got to tell you, buddy, before I give mine, and anyone that knows me knows what mine is already, but I got to tell you, we got to get you collecting diecasts. And let me tell you why. Peter also didn't care about diecasts, our lovely producer here. But then we got her a couple, and all of a sudden she's got a bit of the hankering for them.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right, producer Peter?
I wouldn't call it a hankering, but I enjoy the ones I have.
At first, you didn't see the appeal at all, though. Is that correct? Do you now see some of the appeal?
What size do you have? Like, there's different sizes, right?
Yeah.
I see there's like a ratio, like 1 to 64, 1 to 30.
There's a 124, and then what else is there, Pete?
118 are the big ones.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are nice.
I'll take the 1-to-1. Thanks. I'll collect that one.
Oh, We're going to change this. This conversation is not over. All right. For my
don't buy me a diecast. Save your money. Save your money.
Peter, I have a Christmas idea for the Canadian.
We'll talk about it.
Don't get me anything.
But for my favorite diecast, it doesn't take a whole lot of genius to figure it out. It's got to be that beloved 43. No question about it. Throwing it back to Johnny Andretti in 98, back when it was a Pontiac. And let me tell you something, folks. That is how the 43 should look every week. You want to know why? Because it's got Petty Blue in it. That's why it should look that way every single week. Because, you know, there's nothing says legacy like the 43. Duh. That is what it should look like every single week. And thank you to Advent Health for helping make that happen.
Honestly, it's a sharp-looking car. I like it.
Yeah, it's look, and it's going to make the King happy and Dale Emmon happy, and it is just frankly, and I can we put it up one more time? Just, and I'm not even being funny here. On the back, we don't have that, but on the back they have Check It for Andretti. Obviously, he passed away due to colon cancer, and that's a great just a great remembrance, and you should get it checked for Andretti and for your own health. And so I think that's a wonderful touch as well. So yeah, that's my favorite throwback scheme, and we can only hope that that's how the 43 will look again every week someday.
We have one more to show.
Oh well, you mean the town jester of
the abomination
of throwbacks. what is that? The so-called Chase Elliott throwback to Ken Schrader's 1994 number 25 Kodak Chevrolet.
Let's tear this apart for a second here. Like, the font color on the number isn't even correct. Like,
it's not even close.
The greens are so wrong.
The gray on Chase's car is gray, and it's green on Ken Schrader's car.
The darker green on the top for the Kodak car.
What even happened? I don't know if
Universe was being picked. I mean, it is just a dreadful attempt. It looks like a second grader drew it. You know, the family pictures of the second graders? We draw, and they're all awful, but we all had to pretend they're wonderful. And I'm not hating on second graders. I'm just telling the truth. That's rough. Yeah, that is bowling shoe ugly, ladies and gentlemen. And then it happens to be the sport's most popular driver to boot.
Yeah. Like,
are you kidding?
Like the other Hendrick ones are good. Kyle Larson's is decent.
Kyle Larson's is wonderful, no doubt. Alex Bowman's is nice. Like there's.
I don't know what happened.
It's like someone ate those colors of the Kodak car and then threw them up.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
And also had like three glasses of milk before throwing up too. Yeah. Like there is something not right going on.
Milk and stomach acid, and there we got the 9 car this week. And that's again for the sport's most popular driver. What the truck, man? I just don't get it. Anywho, we got moving along. So let's go to our weekend preview. Is throwback weekend. It is throwback weekend at Darlington, and Adam may not care because he's a Scrooge, and that's fine.
Oh, I'll still watch.
Cup and I didn't say you wouldn't watch. It's not sacrilege, but you're being a Scrooge. Cup and Xfinity and Darlington, the trucks are off until next week at Bristol. F1 is in Japan. NHRA is off. And so as far as NASCAR goes, Brad Kay won this one last year. He found his way back into victory lane after a long drought. Could he do it again this weekend? We'll see. Again, it's a 400-mile race, not the usual 500 you come to know when you think about Darlington. Any thoughts on that before we move it along to the picks?
Actually, I just wanted to touch on something quick for F1, which I forgot to mention in our Speedway Scoop section. Sure. But Liam Lawson loses his ride after two races with Red Bull. It's hard being Max Verstappen's teammate, but he's being swapped out with Yuki Tsunoda ahead of the Japanese Grand Prix. So interesting, something to keep an eye on there. But yeah, let's get to our. Sorry, I almost stole your job, Logan. Yeah. We could do it together.
Comparison to others is the feast of joy, except for in motorsports, in which case it is the standard in which you're set. So let's get to our, come on, say it with me, Adam. Our racing
refresh picks.
We got to work on our harmony. We will indeed do that. No question about it. All right. Let's bring in producer Peyton one more time. And Adam, give us an update on the score.
Well, we are getting schooled. Seven straight races ChatGPT has won.
That's all right. They're running out of names.
Logan, you came last again. I know it's your favorite.
I'm a very selfless man. I like to finish last so all of you can have a nice you can build up the confidence, and so then I have the big comeback here.
There you go. Okay, well, that means you get to pick first for Darlington.
Hallelujah, indeed. So for Darlington, obviously it is a track that some say is too tough to tame. But it's
very tough.
It is. The Lady in Black, as she's called. I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna bring it. Let's do it. Give me that 43 and Eric Jones.
I had a feeling you'd go there, yes.
Two-time Southern 500 winner, Peter. I don't know why you're shaking your head.
Because I was going to pick him.
That's tough. Be more selfless and finish last.
I alluded to this a little bit in our post-race inspection article, but I'm going next. I'm going to pick Chase Briscoe, the sort of reigning winner at Darlington, if you will, from the Southern 500 last year. And he's in a better team this year too. So I'm gonna go Briscoe. Peyton, you are next.
Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace. What? Hey, he's been doing well lately.
Yes, he's been hotter than the McDonald's fries.
I didn't know if I wanted to save him for a super speedway, but I'm gonna go for it.
Okay.
ChatGPT has informed us that they are taking, I don't know what gender ChatGPT is. They are going with Kyle Busch.
Not a bad pick.
Yep. So there you have it.
That might be what he needs to get off the schneid.
Could be.
We'll see.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up here.
All right. That means it's a little closing time. Folks, closing time. That's where we bring home every great episode of Racing Refresh Speed Syndicate, whatever you want to call this thing, has to come to an end. And before we do that, look, closing time, final words. Let's start with you, Mr. Carabine. What are your final words for the week as we head in, we head out of Hot Dog City at Martinsville, and we head in to a throwback time machine land at Darlington?
I am just going to share with you a personal anecdote here in this section.
Okay.
Demonstrating what an old man I have become. Speaking of getting rid of junk in my house, we were doing some tidying around the house over this past weekend, and
making room for those diecast.
Yeah, no, making room for the diecast shelf. Had a few things, you know, worth selling, right? Throw them up on the old Facebook Marketplace. One of which was like a speaker that we had. Yeah, okay, great. Let's throw the speaker up on Facebook Marketplace. Literally like 5 hours later, I went back and checked the listing that I put up, and I also accidentally included a picture of my cats in it. And I was like, there's three pictures of the speaker and then a fourth picture of my cats. And I was like, wow, I am 75 years old.
You're a boomer.
So there you go.
Oh God.
Looking forward to the week. Always fun at Darlington. I think it's one of the best tracks on the schedule. And yeah, that's all you got. All I got this week.
But I got to ask before we kick it to producer Peyton, is the cat going to stay at home or is it for sale too?
The cat is not for sale. No, I removed the picture, but Lord knows how many people saw that and just thought, who's this grandfather selling a selling a speaker and a cat?
A speaker and a cat over at Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Producer Peyton, I don't think you can top that, but go ahead and give a shout for your final words.
I don't think I can top that either. I shouldn't even try.
It was right after the other one had just smacked it in the face. I thought it was a funny picture. And so funny.
It's on Facebook Marketplace.
There you go. It's gone now, but that's all. Sorry. Go ahead, Peyton.
I'm sad there's no drag racing this weekend, but we will watch, we'll watch NASCAR, and we will get ready for that. And that's all I have to say, because I can't top the cat story.
Very nice.
That's fair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for listening on audio. We greatly appreciate you. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on social media. And most importantly this week, pray that Adam's cat goes to a good home. Until next time, it's been great. That's been Producer Peyton. That's been Adam Canadian Carabine, who is moving a speaker and a kitty. And I'm Logan Morris. And until next time, we'll see you next track.